I'm John Batchelor, speaking with Professor Eric H. Klein. His new book, Love, War, and Diplomacy, The Discovery of the Amarna Letters and the Bronze Age World They Revealed. This is peak Bronze Age, 15th to 12th century BCE, when in 12th century BCE, the competing empires that are also the competing globalization, we call them trade partners, one by one tumble into disorder and then revive themselves according to their strengths in geography and accident. We're at the period of peak globalization, peak bronze, and there's a contest between two great kings, the king of Egypt, the pharaoh, and the king of the Hittite kingdom in Anatolia. The professor has taken a modern skill of drawing connections between the data that we have to see who's at the centerpiece, who's most likely to be part of the correspondence, who is not, in order to understand the status of kings, but also the concerns of the great kings. Professor, this is a wonderful methodology you've got, and I see that it comes up with some surprising connections. It also makes it clear what we need to find yet to understand the scale of this. For example, you've noted that Amenhotep and Akhenaten, the scribes don't always tell us which one is the recipient of the letter from a lesser king, so that we have three categories that are all, might be all the same person. We have Akhenaten, we have Amenhotep III, and we have the Egyptian king, and we can't push it one way or the other. But for what we have, what does this charting tell you, Eric? What have you learned from it?
So what we've got in these letters, as you mentioned, we've got two Egyptian pharaohs, Amenhotep III and his son Akhenaten. And some of the letters are addressed to them by name. But the vast majority of these Amarna letters in the royal category, within the 50 that we've got, are simply addressed to the king of Egypt. Say to the king of Egypt. And it's clear that the person writing on the other end, Assyrians, Babylonians, Mitanni, that they weren't sure who the actual king was at the time. So they're hedging their bets. It's like saying to whom it may concern. You know it's going to get there. Right. So if we try to catalog these, and what we did, my late wife, Diane Harris Klein, and I used social network analysis and a program called NodeXL. And we tried to pair the various people, who's writing to whom, who knows whom, who mentions another person, and so on. And we were able to actually put into numerical terms and create sociograms, diagrams of the connections between these great kings in particular. We also did it for the vassal kings, but we are able to see the connections, say, between Akhenaten and Burna-Buriash II of Babylon, and realize that they write to each other more than they write to anybody else. They're basically best pen pals. But we can also see that Tushratta of Mitanni writes an awful lot, and so on. The same thing that we did for the vassal letters that we've been talking about, we were able to do for the royal letters as well. And in addition to them writing each other, we're able to document what they're asking for. Mostly gold, as we've said, but also a lot of marriage proposals going on. And some of the tablets are lists of dowries and bride prices. So we really do get an inside look. It's a deep dive into 30 years of transactions at the highest levels. And one of the things that we need to realize, the great kings, they're not trading with each other. That's for lower level merchants. They are giving gifts to each other, but they are keeping track of who gives what to whom and making sure it's equal, just like we do today at birthdays and Hanukkah and Christmas and Kwanzaa and all that. You know, we claim we don't keep track, but of course we do, right? I gave you opera tickets and you gave me a six-pack of sparkling water. That's not exactly equal. They're doing that back then as well. So we're able to really catalog and categorize what is going on back then and take it to the next level.
What is the eigenvector discernment of these connections?
So the eigenvector, this is one of the factors that we've got to figure out how close each person is and how, to another, and how important they are. So one of the things about social network analysis, which Diane, my late wife, used to do for Socrates and Alexander the Great, you can also use it in modern day terms to put together a network. For example, social network analysis was used after 9/11 to figure out bin Laden's network. And one of the things you want to do is figure out who the major power brokers are, who connects whom to the other people. And if you can take out a major bridge or broker, you can break up the network. And that's what they've been doing in modern days. Well, you can do it in antiquity as well, and you can figure out who are the important people using things like eigenvector and betweenness, centrality, all these factors that you can look at once you've done the social network analysis. And we find interesting things, which in retrospect we probably should have expected, namely the messengers that are being sent between the kinks, the ones that are actually carrying the tablets, they're incredibly important. And if you take the messengers out, the entire network will break apart. Again, in retrospect, we should have been able to predict that. That's how it always works, but still very, very interesting. And we do find some of the major players, both good and bad. And for me, that was really interesting. For example, there's one guy, I think it's Bir Yawadza, the ruler of Damascus, who claims he's a good guy. But in fact, when you read the letters from other people, he's a troublemaker. And you can see him in these diagrams that we made. He's very central, connecting all the other people because they're mentioning him. So it is a way of determining how important each person was, and how important the connections were as well. One of the things we find is the Egyptian pharaohs are actually kind of up in a corner. They're not the major players in a way because they're outnumbered by the vassal kings and others. But it does, again, allow us a new insight into what was going on at that time.
Azuru and Ribhata stand out as being the center of several different kinds of circles of correspondence. We can't be sure if that's an accident of what was discovered or whether it's a reflection of their presence in the pharaoh's affairs. Is that correct, Professor?
That is correct. It's really just a reflection of how often they are mentioned. But if I can go back for a second to what we began with the king of Egypt, that in itself is extremely important because if the letters say to Akhenaten or to Amenhotep III, that's a direct connection between them and Burna Boreas or Tushratta or something. But if it says to the king of Egypt, that doesn't really help us that much. So one of the things we did was kind of a thought experiment, and we replaced every time it said the king of Egypt, we said, okay, let's replace that with Akhenaten. How does that change the diagrams? And then again, we said, okay, forget Akhenaten. Let's, every time it says king of Egypt, let's replace it with Amenhotep III. What does the picture look like now? And each time it changed very drastically. So the lesson that is learned is something that the people that do social network analysis already knew. Your analyses are only as good as the data that you're feeding into it. So, you know, we don't exactly know who the king of Egypt is in every time. If we did, it might drastically alter our picture.
I want to focus on Ribhata because he's such a charming correspondent and goes through, you know, the pains of losing everything. Byblos, you tell me we know where it is, but it's not been excavated. What would it look like when excavated? What is the scale of it? Does it have walls? Is it a tell? I've never been to Lebanon.
Right. So it has been excavated, especially like a century ago. We haven't really done excavations there, and by we I mean the archaeologists. since the beginning of the Beirut Civil War, say 1970s, 1976 or so. And of course, there's no real archaeology going on there today. But we do have a fair amount. We know it's one of these Canaanite cities, most likely fortified. We have actually found some of the inscriptions and tombs, the sarcophagi, of some of the rulers from the Iron Age, not so much from the Bronze Age at this time, but I do talk about it a little bit in the after 1177 BC sequel. So there's been some excavation, especially, like I said, about a century ago. I'm hoping that we're going to be able to do more in the future. But all those cities, Byblos, Beirut, Sidon, Tyre, there is so much more that remains to be excavated when peace breaks out and we're able to get back and do more archaeology.
The book is Love, War, and Diplomacy, The Discovery of the Amarna Letters and the Bronze Age World They Revealed. Eric Klein is the author. I'm John Batchelor.